25th anniversary of Columbine, and the brother of one of the people was probably the most famous of the victims, where they pointed the gun at her, told her to, she was a strong Christian, they knew that, and told her to deny God, and she refused to do it. But her brother was also in the library, where most of the killing took place, and he and his family have been spending the last 25 years going around and talking to students to try to prevent this. And he has some very interesting perspectives on what he has seen in schools, as well as what he saw that day. And so he had an interview with Billy Halliwell, who is with CBN News. He said, "I've dedicated a lot of my life to sharing my sister's story, traveling around and speaking. His sister, Rachel Joyce Scott, was killed during the event." So he said they talked about forgiveness. They talked about who is really to blame. You know, how do we sort these types of things out? Is it really about bullying? Because that really has been the foundation for a lot of things, right? All of this grooming that is happening now, interestingly enough, is being justified over the satanic actions of a couple of killers. And that's really what it was. He says they got into a very dark place. Well, it was a very occultic place, quite frankly, that they got into. It wasn't just that they withdrew and brooded and that type of thing. I want to begin with his recounting of the event. Here's Scott's version of the story.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned your friend who died next to you. You were in the library. You saw and experienced some of the most horrific things imaginable, particularly for a teenager, a kid at the time. You know, it was horrific for the entire country. You went through it. Coming out of that, when it comes to forgiveness, right? We talk a lot about forgiveness in our culture, maybe not enough, but the word gets thrown around a lot. But you really have had to deal with that. How did you get to a place of forgiveness? What was that journey like for you coming out of a situation where 12 kids, a teacher killed by their peers? It's just horrific.
Yeah, a lot of times, just a recap a little bit about what I went through. I was in the library, which was the scene of the most intense shooting. I watched as the shooters went around the room taunting students and treated it like it was a game. They came over to where I was. I saw my friend Isaiah. They called him racial slurs. They tried to pull him out from underneath the table. They killed him. Then they killed my friend Matt. And they left me underneath that table. I thought I was going to die. And I felt that I heard God speak to me. And I am careful even with that phrase. God told me to do something because I know that my own thinking can get in the way of that still small voice that's within. But I felt very strongly and impressed that a voice that was all-knowing, wise, and told me to get out of there. I was the first student to stand up. Looked down around the room. I saw the shooters were gone, and I yelled at everyone, "Let's get out of here." A group of us ran out. There's a police car outside. We all got behind the police car, and shortly after, the shooters came back into the library and began to exchange gunfire with the police. Behind the police car, I was holding a girl who had been shot. Her name was Val Schnurr, and she had a conversation with the shooters just minutes earlier where they were— one of them walked by her and she said, "Oh God." And it caught his attention. He said, "God, you believe in God?" And had this conversation between the two of them where she was begging for her life. And finally she said she did. She said, "Yes." And then I heard a shotgun but she survived. And I'm holding her behind this police car, trying not to let her go to sleep. It's amazing what kicks in. You think we're more resilient than we realize sometimes. Things automatically kick in that you don't even know. I mean, I'm 16 years old, just turned 16, and I'm holding, and all I knew all of a sudden, it just came to me. You don't let someone who's losing blood go to sleep. I'm in total shock, which is your brain's way of kind of protecting you from the gravity of what you're dealing with. So you're in total shock. It feels surreal. When I was in the library, I was completely paralyzed with fear. And it was it was less than 10 minutes, but it felt like hours that I was in there, because those seconds just are so long, and you're totally aware of every, you're just in this very crazy place. What I've learned about you used to ask about forgiveness is, a lot of times we don't realize we need forgiveness. Like, we're angry about something. We don't know sometimes what it is. We're carrying around some stuff from our past, some our anger for, and I didn't realize it, but for years I was, I was angry, and I hated the shooters. The reason I hated them is because the news got the overall reason wrong why the shooting happened. Not because they were intentionally trying to, but everybody wanted to know why. And this story came out that's just not true. And the story is, these guys were pushed to the edge with being bullied at school so bad that they got revenge. And that was the overall story that came out from Columbine. Even the psychologists and everybody in the community, everyone that's learned about Columbine realizes that's not what happened.
That had to be frustrating, to continue to hear that. Even now, that still comes up, right? As the primary reason, a lot of people go back to that media narrative, and that's all they really know of the reasons.
Yeah, so that's a false narrative, and it's not the reason why Columbine happened. It's a minor, smaller factor. It's a factor, but it's a smaller factor. And in fact, that caused in the mind of the American psyche a bad formula that's existed for 25 years. And we as a country need to get rid of that formula. And the formula is, you've been bullied at school. Look out, you could do a school shooting. Well, that is so wrong. Because that's the equivalent of, you stepped on my toe, I'm going to cut off your limbs.
Yeah, and that's exactly, all this time, we have seen the cover-up here in Tennessee of what this tranny killer did in that Christian school. It truly is amazing to me. They want to hide all that stuff. They want to hide the evil that is in there. And then, of course, we've got people very angry. The Democrats, you had one of the Tennessee Three, one of the people who interrupted the proceedings there at the House before. He has a bunch of protesters there. They staged a die-in, and we'll talk about that. But you notice that he says, it wasn't what we were told. So what does he think the reason this happened is? This is a little bit shorter. I'll tell you what he says about the reason why.
And so you ask, well, why did Columbine happen? I don't have all the reasons. I can't tell you everything, but I have learned a lot. And I can tell you after everything I've learned, as far as people are concerned, the biggest people responsible are the two shooters. It's not the school. It's not people that maybe treated them bad. It's not their parents. It's not the medication they were on. It's not the guns that they got. It's the choices that they made in their heart to get into a dark place, to choose to kill, and choices that they made to lie, to not do the things that they are going to say they're going to do, to all kinds of things. So, even as a teenager, when I watched them on the news, I remember, and they were older than me. They were a couple years older than me. And I thought, they knew what they were doing. They were planning on it. They planned it. Eric specifically planned it for over a year. So very sick and twisted, dwelling on the darkest thoughts that you could have, having these dark fantasies of being in power and showing the world your anger and your rage and all, and just this very egotistical, very arrogant fantasy and that Eric had. And then there were two different kids, and I've learned a lot about, and I say kids, one was 17, one was 18. But they, just like other shooters and of shootings, they knew what they were doing was so wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Perhaps that's why they don't want us to see the manifesto there in Nashville. But then what about forgiveness? Because he'd asked him about that. As he said, they are to blame. So what do you do with that? Does he move on with that? What do you do about the forgiveness aspect of this?
So, but back to the issue of forgiveness, forgiveness is like setting a prisoner free and finding out that prisoner is you. So you have all this anger and you realize forgiveness is what sets you free from that. Forgiveness is a spiritual issue, and people a lot of times misunderstand it. They think that forgiveness is saying, oh, it's okay what you did. Now, sometimes that it is when you're meant to be in relation and connection with somebody, you forgive them and you forget what they did and you say it's okay. And you give them grace, you give them mercy. But sometimes something happens from someone and it's not okay. It's completely wrong and evil or whatever you want to call it. And at that point, it's not about saying it's okay. It's saying I'm going to choose to let go. And it's for your sake. Forgiveness most of the time is for you. It's for you. That's the essence of it, is a forgiveness is a freeing thing. And people don't realize, because what happens is you go, well, I have a right to be angry. Yes, you do. It's for some things that have happened. You can either hold on to that right and it let it eat you inside. And it then comes out in different ways, usually on people that you don't intend it to go out onto or onto yourself. Or you are living in torment in your mental health, or you have an attitude of forgiveness and choose to let go. So I forgave the shooters at Columbine, but I would not pardon them. Pardon is an issue of the law. If they had not killed themselves that day, I believe that they belonged in prison so that they couldn't do that again until.
Exactly. And so we've had situations, we've had people like Son of Sam Keller, you have Ted Bundy, who raped and killed so many people. They went to prison, and Ted Bundy was executed. Son of Sam, David Berkovich or something like that. He is still in prison, will be there for life. They don't have the death penalty there. Both of them said they became Christians in prison. God can forgive. There's still consequences. You still are in prison the rest of your life, or you are executed, that type of thing. That's what he's talking about in terms of no pardon. And God gives us consequences in our own lives. We can see that in the life of David, who committed adultery, who committed murder, attempted to cover it up. There were consequences for him his entire life. And yet he was forgiven by God. The problem is, I think, when we look at this, how do you stop the crime? Well, you lock these people up, put them in prison, or you execute them or something like that. But how do you stop the ongoing crimes? Because we've had not just school shootings, the crimes that happened during 2020 and 2021 and so forth under this medical martial law, the mass murder in hospitals, the crimes against people in terms of stealing all of their livelihood and destroying the business that they built with their blood, sweat, and tears, the destruction of the rule of law, the moving of the Overton window so the people will accept, well, yeah, I guess I do need to have a digital ID. And that is really what is happening now. It's an article coming out of Australia today we'll get to, where they've just passed this new digital ID law, calling it voluntary, and yet it's not voluntary for a lot of people. As a person said, well, if it's not voluntary for everybody, it's not voluntary for anybody, really. And so they're strong-arming and coercing people to take that, because why are we putting up with this? This is so against the character of Australians to do this type of thing, just as it should be against the character, historical character of Americans to submit to this kind of stuff. And yet they were able, with this these lies of the pandemic, to move this Overton window, so we will gradually start to accept this stuff. So that's the key. When you look at this, what do we do to stop this? This is why I have been told so many times, and it is a real sore spot with me. Well, you just need to move on and forget about Trump. It's like, well, I'll move on and forget about Trump, and Trump moves on. If Trump is going to come back, remain in power, if Biden is going to stay and remain in power, we have to tell people what they have done. To move on from these people, Trump and Biden, is to move on from these two killers at Columbine and just to say, oh, okay, well, you know, let's just forget about it. That was 4 years ago. Come on, there's other things happening. Let's forget about it. That's 25 years ago. You know, these guys be in their 40s now. He was 16. He was a couple of years younger than the oldest one. He's 41. Well, just forget about it. Just let them walk around free. No, you stop the killing. You stop the crime. So how's the best way to do that in a high school? Well, as I've said many times, with every one of these school shootings, the best thing that you can do, there's no perfect solution. But the best solution that you can have is to have concealed carry by teachers that are there. Because as we've seen in the recent stabbing that happened in Australia, the Australian Mall, I think the first person killed was a uniformed security guard who became a target for this guy. This guy wanted to kill people, so first thing he does is get rid of the security guard. Then he starts killing women. And then finally the people who are running from the killer find a cop, a female, and she's got a gun. They tell her to go stop this guy, and she heroically runs over to stop him. But the thing that allowed her to stop him was the gun that she had. And so that's a heroic act. She was not being threatened. If you have a situation in a school classroom, remember there was a teacher who died besides 12 students, I think. And if you are there and somebody is attacking you or attacking the students that are there, that's just self-preservation. And you need to have the ability to do that. And so you at least have, they can still, you know, surprise you and shoot you before you can react, of course. But there's at least a possibility that if they don't blindside you on this, you've got an opportunity to fight back on a somewhat level playing ground. Perhaps better if you have, under this Tennessee law, been in training so that you're a better shot. The Tennessee House passes a bill to arm trained teachers amid protests, and a performative die-in is the way Tom Papert does the headline. Performative. It was theatrics, just like Earth Day 54 years ago. I talked about yesterday as people doing die-ins and everything. And nothing really changes. This is the left. This is the theatrical left. It was the people who were the ones who were always in the plays and all this other kind of stuff, who loved to perform. They were the ones who were so into Earth Day 54 years ago. And this is what's happening here as well. You've got Justin Jones, one of the Tennessee three, who has been at the forefront of these displays and everything. And that's why he got elected, by the way. You know, he was a performer at these protests and everything that got him elected. And he's still doing that. Not so much offering bills as he is just offering performances. The Tennessee House of Representatives yesterday approved a bill that would arm teachers who are licensed, receive annual training, not just once, but every year, and are approved by both police and school officials. There's a lot. Licensing, you're approved by multiple people, you're training all the time. The protest threatened to interrupt the legislative body's proceedings multiple times with Justin Jones, who is actually... I hesitate to call him a representative, but he does represent a certain constituency, doesn't he? And his staffers at times joining the protest in theatrics. And so 68-28 was the bill passing. He was ruled out of order at least three times on Tuesday, including when he walked to the front of the assembly and used his phone to record lawmakers and protesters. Because he was repeatedly ruled out of order, he will not be allowed to speak on the House floor until Thursday. They've got to come up with some better punishments for these guys. They kicked them out when they bullhorned and had a mob insurrection taking over the Capitol. And then immediately he was reinstated by his jurisdiction, the politicians there. He says, I'm the only one who is officially ruled out of order for video recording my constituents being removed from the gallery by state troopers and now will be silenced for the next 2 days. The video he posted on social media seems to feature the lawmaker or another person standing very close to him chanting, blood on your hands. Blood on your hands. No, this is about defending innocent life. If they got blood on their hands, they got blood on their hands taking down a perp. A video of the full event shows the House Speaker Cameron Sexton repeatedly urging him to stop recording and sit down, but he won't. He ejected him and did measures. But, you know, he shouldn't have any consequences. How dare them have consequences for this stuff? They must be racist. Its proponents previously highlighted the stringent requirements it requires for guns to be carried on school property. State Senator Paul Bailey, who sponsored the version of the bill that already passed in the state Senate, so now the only thing left is for the governor to sign it. I'm sure he probably will. Predicted that the requirement would lead to this passing and getting the signature from Bill Lee. He said, in order to carry weapons on school grounds, they have to possess a valid handgun carry permit issued by this state, must be fingerprinted, and must pass a psychological evaluation, be vetted by school officials and all the rest of the stuff, and train annually, 40 hours minimum annually.
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.